video cast but not listening, you're watching the video cast version of the pre-show but not listening to the pre-show, if you just saw a couple of things that the people listening to the pre-show will not hear. Not a big thing, but camera two is still on the blink, that motherfucking piece of shit. And it's not really broken. It's something that I'm doing wrong, but I thought I'd blame it, the camera, because what's happening with it, it just all of a sudden goes off. Now, I'm sure it's a setting of some kind. Just, in other words, it shuts down. There was a period there where I thought maybe the battery, maybe it wasn't plugged in, and it was running on battery power, and the battery was... So I was trying a variety of different, sources of AC power, thinking, well, maybe the plug's loose or some shit. Nope, that isn't it. Then I thought, well, aha, I think it's on record mode. Because, you know, these cameras are not recording. They're simply just statically conveying the image here to our TriCaster. And I thought, well, maybe it's in record, and somehow that's just running. Somehow it's automatically shutting off. I don't know. So I found the record feature and made sure that that was disabled. So now what I believe is happening is that it has one of these default settings that I haven't found yet that's just making it go, pew. Now, I had the damn manual here. I don't know where it is. Is that you, Thunder? So did I tell you that we're adopting a dog on Sunday? I'm nervous because this is a rescue dog, and this dog was badly treated. And we'll put his picture up as soon as we don't want to put his picture up right now. But he's a beautiful guy. He's a beautiful dog. I think he's a Boston Terrier. I could be wrong. Boston Terriers are those sort of smaller-looking boxer type. Looks like a small boxer. It's the best way I can describe it. I'm in no way a dog expert. And I figure the size is perfect for our house because we've got a two-story house, but it's a relatively small lot. But we do have the beach down the street. Put all that together. What do you got? Well, probably a medium-sized dog of some kind. But I'm a little nervous because I want to make sure that this animal was terribly treated. And through the good graces of the person that rescued him, he got surgery and he got training and he's boarded. And, animals, when they're treated badly, man, their personalities change dramatically, and they can become vicious. And I don't mean vicious in the Donald Trump sense, you know, where they just viciously attack. They become, with reason, scared and protective of themselves. But I'm told that's not the case with this dog. So I'm going to, and I'm not worried about that. So what I'm worried about is scaring the dog. I'm not worried about getting bit. I've been bit. I used to work for a veterinarian when I was in high school. I've been bit a million times. It's scaring the dog. I don't want to do that. I don't want to traumatize any more than it has been. I want to make sure the home is a welcoming home for him. And it's a comfortable home for him. And it's a place of security. And there's food. And there's good, warm love there. And if he wants, he's got a cat to play with. Thunder is a cool cat. Thunder grew up with dogs. Now, I don't know whether... the feeling will be mutual. I'm hoping Thunder won't be scared of the dog, but Thunder, like I said, her early years were spent with dogs. And she just likes to play. Anybody that wants to play with her, man, she's ready to rock and roll. I hope that's the case with this dog we're going to get. His name's Marley. And who the hell is that? That looks like... They're doing the Mean Joe Green... football life, the life of Mean Joe Green, and they're showing that famous Coca-Cola commercial where Mean Joe Green gives the Coke to the kid at the tunnel, and that kid they're showing now as an adult. He's in his 40s. Well, I don't know how old he'd be, in his 40s, yeah, maybe pushing 50, and they're showing him on camera before, you know, as they're setting the actors up, and they're Joe Green is rehearsing his lines, and kid's name is Joe Akon, just his child actor. And they showed a really hot-looking weather woman from what looked to be a 1960s morning show. And I don't know whether that was his mom or not, but, man, she was fine, you know. I don't know what she had to do with this thing. So anyway, that's the story. That's coming up this weekend. We'll see. We're going to go meet him. You know, and you don't want to, you know, if there's any indication that there's not a good thing happening there for the poor little guy, then naturally we're not going to force him. but I'm told, you know, that he's terrific, and so we'll see. And I thought, you know what? I've wanted a dog for a lot of years. Never got around to it. Wasn't quite sure. Well, how do I, you know what? What kind of dog? Fuck up, I know. You know, I think a lot of people get dogs for the ego trip of having like a golden retriever. You know, we have a golden because they're beautiful dogs. They've got great natures to them. And but these people, well, that's the kind of dog I guess we get. They're not really animal people. Who knows? Some people get Doberman Pinschers. You know, that's a good dog to have. So nobody fucks with you, right? I got a Doberman. Pitbull. Pitbull is what fucking jack-off motherfucking dog. I'm nothing against the dog, but people that own pit bulls, unless it's like, you know, you really dig the animal and it's not about dog fighting. Because I think dog fighting is cruel and those people should be put in fucking prison, if not worse. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Anyway, some people get little old lady dogs, you know.
Because he's easy, you know. He eats the same amount that I do, and
whatever. But I didn't know what kind of fucking dog. We had German Shepherds. When I was growing up, we had a German Shepherd, we had a Beagle, and we had Collies. My dad was big on Collies, long-haired fucking dogs. Great dogs, difficult to keep, you know, keep combed out and brushed out, and not the brightest animal on earth, but it doesn't matter to me. That's what we had. I remember that Gretchen, I remember Poco was the name of this beagle we had. And my father actually named Poco, not after the band, but because Poco was a word he learned in Italy for small, little. That's what Poco means. Or in Spanish, I guess, poquito. But never had... and then when I was a young adult, a young man, we had a Samoyed, me and my roommates, named Snowball. It's a white, beautiful, fluffy, blue-eyed Samoyed dog. Fantastic dog. Used to go everywhere with this dog. We used to take him fishing with us, and he'd be on the shoreline, you know, and grabbing the fish. It was pretty funny to have a worm. You could see through the water in Florida in these lakes. You could, up to a certain depth, you could see through the water. You could actually see the worm, big rubber worm, laying on the bed of the floor of the lake. And you'd see a bass come up to it. And the bass were not the dumbest fucking fish in the world. They'd kind of snuff around this thing and maybe go to swallow it. And the idea was if you saw the goddamn thing, which is, you know, you set the hook as fast as you can, but there's goddamn Snowball. Let's see the fish before you did it, be in the water after it. So I didn't know. And then, and I'd seen other rescue dogs that she had pictures of. And, I don't know, yeah, you know, that's cool. And then we saw this guy, and, well, what are you going to do, man? You look at a dog that has been beaten with a baseball bat, and he's still alive. And not only is he alive, but he's on the mend, and he's still there. And he's staring into the camera, and with the look that a dog has when he's, you know, expectant and happy. And I said, you know, if you don't find anybody to adopt him, I'll adopt him. She's okay. So that was, I don't know, weeks and weeks ago. I just got a text yesterday. So there you go. That's the story. And okay. 100 years of Stanley Cup hockey. 1917. Is that when the NHL started? They're having a big 100-year celebration. D-zone coverage. Boston activate D-men. Kings to the keys to the game. The Kings game is on. All right, man. See, yesterday's show, I had a really good time listening to the show, especially now, the first part, though, Margaret and that goddamn singing, and Frank talking about Gene Roddenberry just waving his fucking arms. That's the guy who thinks he's a conductor. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Frank's like, what are you doing? And then Bobby with the Gene Roddenberry.
Gene Roddenberry.
It's Gene Roddenberry.
My understanding was, you know,
that's my mother all the way. My mom's favorite phrase.
My understanding was, you know, well, my understanding is it's Gene Roddenberry.
My mom used to do that. She would fuck any word up just for the, you know, France. That, oh, you come from France? Jean Rodaberry. Stephen Bannon reassures conservatives uneasy about Trump. What did he tell them? Yeah, it, no problem, man. We'll get Jim Crow going again. Couple years, three at the most. Is that how you fucking reassuring them? Or, you know, you don't have to spend any of your money at all on anybody else except yourself, but the roads and the schools and all that shit, everything magically will be taken care of. Yeah, I know. I won't talk about it. Sorry. Prominent congressional Republicans in short supply at CPAC. You want to know why? Because they go to their goddamn town hall meetings and they're getting fucking destroyed because they're not fucking popular. I'd have a guy who's like, you know, Larry Grover. And Larry, what the hell happened to this?
And Larry, see.
You ever heard the term banana pie? I've heard banana cream pie, but banana pie I've never heard. And then if you think about the term banana cream pie, that's like overkill. You're like, Jesus Christ, what? Banana cream pie? I mean, oh, what a mind you got. Well, what the fuck, man? I mean, either make it out of a fucking banana. What do you mean cream? Well, we need to get a little more. A little more what? I guess it's, you know, you make an apple pie out of apple and there's sort of, what is it? What's that word? Starts with a C. Cherry, you know. You know what I mean? They have the same thing. Not currant, but composite. I'm missing the word totally, but they have it for cherries. They have it for apples. Banana doesn't have the same kind of thing. Anyway, I keep thinking of, I run out of female names to use when I'm naming female characters or naming peripheral female characters like Larry's wife. I always use the name Marcy. I got to get off that name. Marcy is the name of Ted Bell's wife, and I also use that same name for Ron Turner, and that's not Ron Turner. So I said, oh, I'll just use ex-girlfriends of mine, you know, which go that I got to go way back because I don't want to use any current names, but like Gwen, that's going to be Larry Grover's ex-wife. And then I haven't been with any other women. No, I'm kidding. there's Diane. There is Susan. There's can't remember their names. I can't remember their names. No, I've dated two Margarets that I know of, and Susan, and what's the chick that I used to go out with in when I worked at K West? I went out with this little, really gorgeous Hispanic chick. What the fuck was her name? Not Teresa. Oh my God. There's Jeannie, Jean. There was Thea. Yeah, Thea's a good name. The hell, that girl that I went out with. Wow. Weird. You saving grace? This is Mr. Mamba. Sir?
Yeah, Larry. Larry? Hi. Larry, you didn't... No, you did not. Because, Larry, well, you were wiping the pie away from your face. I remember what you said. You said... Larry, hi. You were wiping the pie away from your face. Larry, you were wiping the pie away from your car. Yeah, you were wiping the pie away from your face before you got in your car. And I said, Gwen says hi. Larry, yeah, you were wiping the pie away from your face. And I said, Gwen says hi.
Yeah, so what?
Well, I thought it was a good shot.
What the hell are you doing, Henry? Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, you know what I gotta do is get the, goodbye. I'd show you camera one tonight, but it's fucking busted, piece of shit. Oh, you know what I gotta do? I got two things I gotta do real fast here, man. No, that's already in there, man. What the hell, dude? How many versions of this piece of shit are there? God damn it. Look at this. You're saving grace. How many versions of that motherfucking I Spy song are there? Christ all fucking mighty. Goddamn. Let me see this piece of shit. Fucking. One, two. There must be three goddamn versions of that motherfucker. Okay. Nothing. I don't want to get it. I don't want to go into it. It was something I saw on TV. Now, what do you guys think about? I think I'm going to deal with this on the show. The whole idea of sex between a minor and an adult when the minor is a male and the adult is a female, there is definitely, you know, sort of a mind thing. Now, if I were a teenager, and when I was a kid, I fantasized about sex with older women all the fucking time. I wanted that to happen. That's something that a young boy man is going to think about. However, we're not talking about what the kid wants, are we? We're talking about what the adult knows. There's an age of majority in our societies. We recognize there's a point at which you are responsible for what you do. There is an age. There is an age under which you're not. You're not held as a responsible party. You're given more leeway. What do you want to call it? You're not let off the hook 100%. But even a murderer, even an underage murderer, has the advantage or has the ability or has the they've got the right or something, I don't know what you call it, not to spend the rest of their lives in jail. At 21, your case is reassessed. And of course, there are some instances where you're tried as an adult. I recognize that. I'm not exactly sure I understand what that's about. I it sounds like a revenge thing, you know. I don't give, fuck, this is so horrible that the kid's got to, you know, go down for the count. However, I guess it's society continually trying to refine what it considers to be fair and just. So, it's not about what the kid thinks. It's about what the adult knows. And you're an adult. Having sex, and I'm going to tell you something. When I was at KGB, this is the first and only time I remember having to actively make a fucking decision on this, in this regard. I met a girl who was a fan who was 17. I was 28. And I could have, that was the light was green, Jack. I could have just sailed right on down that freeway that night. And I remember thinking, here's what used to scare me. It wasn't the idea that I would, you know, that the thing that scared you back in those days, and any other guy will tell you the same thing who is my age, was this word called statutory rape, or this phrase, statutory rape. Statutory rape. Nobody called you a child molester, but they said you'd get busted for statutory rape, meaning the statute says technically you're raping this woman because she's underage. Even though it's quote unquote consensual to the extent that any of that kind of thing can be, statutory, that scared the shit out of any guy that had 4 cents worth of brains. That's what caused me that night or that afternoon to say, when she invited me to her house for beer and pizza because her folks weren't home for the weekend. And I said, you know, I got a lot of shit I got to do. It's great to meet you and all this stuff. And the other thing that scared the shit out of me was the following thing. And maybe this didn't scare the guys. I could just imagine what her old man would have done had he come home early from wherever the fuck it was they were. You know, I was worried about that. I was scared of that. Some guy walking in with a gun. Oh, nude with my daughter, huh? Those are the things that I can honestly tell you were a part of the thinking of any guy that wanted to stay out of jail or stay alive or otherwise not run afoul of anything having to do with, you know, the negative. You know, possibilities associated with sex with a girl under the age of 18. It wasn't anything about being a child molester. That had not yet come into the lexicon. That wasn't, child molesters were pervs that, you know, I'm not saying that it isn't now, although I have to tell you, people apply the term child molester to everything having to do with sex with a minor, not because they really believe it's child molestation, but because they want to impugn it further. They want to continue to, you know, demonize it. Is it really child molestation? Technically, sure. You know, but I think anybody that you talk to, when you mention child molestation to them, they'll all say the same thing. They consider that to be a sexual assault on a child, like a pre-adolescent. Nonetheless, that's a lot of technical jargon. It is what it is, man. It's against the fucking law. It's child molestation, and you get your ass kicked. Back in those days, because that phrase was not used, it was the statutory rape thing. Any guy listening to me right now who knows what I'm talking about knows what I'm talking about. Statutory rape. So let me just see something here. Jim Sadler. I don't know who would talk about that. Goodbye. Bobby Dylan, Mary Madison. I think Jay Santos ought to advocate for sex with a minor. He's perfect. I remember getting rousted by the cops. If you were in your car, and here in California, where I grew up in Arcadia, which is near the San Gabriel Mountains, the foothills, you could go up Santa Anita Avenue above the little city of Arcadia. You could see Santa Anita Racetrack, and you could see beyond almost to the ocean. And you go up Santa Anita, and you go into the San Gabriel foothills, and there was a place called Chantry Flats. This was a picnic area and a hiking area. You could hike all the way up to Mount Wilson, or you could hike down to these falls. They had these waterfalls. And then in the middle, in between was a picnic area, et cetera. Well, we used to go up there, not all the way up there. We'd go to any of the turnouts on the way up, park, and that's where you would start making out with a girl and possibly more, you know? And Arcadia cops went up there to roust people all the time. And I got rousted by the police at least twice. And I better not say, but I will tell you this. The girls were all my age. I was a teenager and they were in high school with me. But I remember thinking, God, you know, that's kind of weird. These cops, you know, what are you doing, man? You know, they come up with a flashlight. And I used to think, I wonder if they're getting their jollies this way. Although they're doing their job. But I don't think any of these guys ever went, by that I mean the police, went any further than just, all right, get your pants on, get your blouse, and get out of here. I mean, I don't remember them ever checking IDs. Maybe that's just my imagination. But I don't. I seriously don't. Because I remember at least one time, I didn't have a fucking driver's license. Jesus Christ. This fucking half hour. You know what? The pre-shows are going to have to be longer than a half hour, because I cannot goddamn well get anything done in 30 out of a minute. Blah, blah, blah. See, because right now they're trying to nail Bill Maher for saying that sex, that the Mary Kay Letourneau thing, remember that? She was a teacher who had sex with a student. See, the whole thing about this argument about child molestation and pederasty and pedophilia, et cetera, the conversation we're having about it right now is so, it's just so fucked up because it's about nailing people politically. It has nothing to do, really, with concern for children, I don't think. So in that one sense, I agree with I read this Milo guy, Yiannopoulos. He said that, and I got to agree with him. I don't think it's got anything to do with caring about kids. Now, what these motherfuckers say, you got to stand by what you say, man. You know what? It's fucked, but you said it, and look before you leap, Jack. What are you doing? What are you talking about? Why are you saying what you're saying? You think it's just outrageous that you're saying these things? It's just outrageous, you know, and that's fine. That's all well and good, but, you know, you got to live with this shit, man. You got to realize this shit's going to come back. You may be kidding, and I've said a lot of shit in my career where I was fucking kidding. The other thing that I said, I was mentioning to you guys the other day, like when I did the Brian Cox thing, the other thing I did that was something that I regret, because I realize now, Jesus, that was really stupid, man. I went on the air one night post 9/11, and I had done this successfully, saying that I had anthrax, and somebody has anthrax, and everybody has anthrax. You know, I was like this little kind of bullshit fearmonger thing for comedy purposes. Then I went on to another night and said somebody had tuberculosis, which was also, a lot of people don't remember, that was also a bio-warfare fear at the time. Now that's fucked, because that shit is that's a contagious disease. And I got, a few people were pissed at me for that, but fortunately, I I think I actually did say some along the lines of, you know, that was, I shouldn't have said that, folks. That was me not thinking, you know. I try not to have to apologize. Because if you're apologizing, it means you're not in control of your material. You're not in control of your show. Now, let me put it the other way. If you're not in control of your show and you're not in control of your material, you're going to wind up apologizing for a lot of shit that you do. And who wants to do that? Unless what you do is just pure comedy. And I'm not really, I'm not trying to change the fucking world with this shit. Twitter, a lot of you guys read me on Twitter. That's just me venting. Believe me, I don't have a fucking, I'm not carrying on a motherfucking campaign. I just get really fucking pissed and I don't know what to do with, I don't know what to do with it. You know, I don't know where to go with it. Twitter seems to be the good place to dump it. I don't get into discussions with people over there. I don't get into fucking debates over there. A Twitter debate is the most worthless fucking use of your time ever. A Facebook debate, worthless use of your fucking time. But if you just want to post something to get it off your fucking chest, those are really good places. All right, man. Goodbye. Where are we at? All right, 8:20. We're going to get going at 8:20. All right. In 2 minutes, we'll get going at 8:20. Mickey Mouse Club. Hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as welcome as can be. M-I-C-K-E-Y-L-Q-F-O, sorry. Hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as welcome as can be. M-I-C-Q-Q-F-P, fuck, I can't spell it. What can't you spell? Mouse. I can't even spell Mickey. Uh-huh. What do you mean, uh-huh? Look, Harry, we've been going through this shit now for 4 days. Learn how to spell mouse or you lose the job. Do you understand? You saw what it said. You need to know how to spell mouse. Yeah, not only that, but we help you, don't we? Well, yeah, we do. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. So the people are singing with you. Yeah, but I got to take the lead. You're a mess. Never said that I was. I don't deny that. We're flying at 25,000 feet. Where is the thing, man? Perfect. All right. One of the things I love to do is just get a little, you know, a few sound effects in there. You never know. You know, like this. This is kind of cool. It's a microwave, you know. All right, man, I think I'm good. In fact, I know I am. Hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as welcome as can be. Mickey Mouse. Yeah, Mickey. Mickey Mouse. Hey, there goes Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse. Hey, there goes Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse, yeah! Mickey Mouse is in the house. Does R.C. Collins come on and say he's rewritten the Mickey Mouse Club theme? God, are you weird. All right, man, I'm ready. You, are you? You, all of you out there? I'm Klaus. What was the name of that guy in Scorpions?
Klaus von Ehrendacher, Jedenfuch, Futenfeier, Ezekiel. My name is Klaus von Ezekiel. It's wild, baby. It's fucking wild.
Testing 1-2. Testing 1-2. All right. And we begin. I'll show you what I want to do in this next segment. Then I would like all of you to try and do what I do. All right? Thank you. Mickey Mouse!